Welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and Tommy Rooney. Oh, what a weekend of championship we've just had. It's Sunday night. I've just landed back from Castlebar. Paddy was on double duty for GA Plus yesterday. James has been across it all double over time. The weekend. Where are we starting after a weekend like that? Where do we go, boys?
There's only one place to go here, friends.
Where are we going?
Everyone's tuning in to hear about... We thought there was a bit of a shock last week with the Royals coming unstuck in Leinster.
Forget Westmeath.
We nearly had an incredible shock in Carrick and Shannon yesterday, but Galway finally managed to seal the deal eventually and get through the Connacht final. Any other weekend, you'd say the Rossies going and winning in Castlebar by 10 points would be the story, and I'm sure we'll get to that, but the team of the season so far, and like, couldn't get a bet on these guys to go for a third Ulster title in a row, to be beaten at home by Division 3. All right, Division 3 champions, but Division 3 down. That is, I don't think there's anyone in the country would have seen that coming. Maybe even some of the down players, if Conor Laverty is believed. He was still trying to convince them at halftime that they were going to win this game. But like, what a brilliant performance. What a weekend, Tommy. Who was giving out about these provincial championships all these years ago?
Jeez, it's football, lads. Forget the provincial championship. We'll get into that. Like, you mentioned Conor Laverty there, James. I was trying to half keep an eye on it during the Mayo Roscommon game. I watched it back since I got home. Like, Conor Laverty's post-match interview is just so good with Grainne McIlwain and the GA Plus panel. He talks about...
Hey, great coverage.
The amount of work, very good. The amount of work they've put into this Donegal game. They've been eyeing this up for months when they got the draw. Yeah, they got the job done in the league. They're still not secured of their place in SAM, which would be such a tragedy if Down aren't there. But yeah, he was talking about infusing them. Before we get to the game plan, James, like talking about infusing them with belief. And he said on Thursday night in training, they've spent 10 days in a row together. They've put their lives on hold, 10 days in a row together. Wait, on Thursday night on training, in the build-up to the game.
The last 10 days.
The squad have spent the last 10 days together.
He actually gave me a bit of a shiver when he was... It was a brilliant interview, Tommy, right, when he was saying that. And it was like... It's like... It just shot like...
It has to be
everything. You cannot be successful unless you literally sacrifice every single aspect of your life. And it was so... I actually got a shiver listening to... A bad shiver. I was thinking, Jesus Christ, that brings you back. But that is... Like, Laverty was just... That encapsulates... You don't get results, you don't get performances, you don't get days like that without paying the price. And he said it. And like Jim McGuinness and Donegal have been the architects of that so many times for some of their greatest days. But it was just that insight of like everything else. Like Lafferty has young kids and all. And he's like, forget about it. Go down, I'm going to win this championship match. You know, and it's like, it's just that insight into, you look at teams maybe not performing or players not performing or, are you doing every single inch of preparation and work to get a performance like Down got today? And if you do it, and you all do it together, you can get days like that. And I thought Laverty, nail on the head, speaking to Grainne afterwards. That's why they've won that game.
He, like, it's so true. And like he said on Thursday night in training, he said to the boys, I believe in ye. I believe we're going to beat Donegal, the form team in the country in many people's eyes. And he said, are ye with me? And he said he wasn't sure where they're fully with him. And again at half time, after they butchered a couple of goal chances and were on top and ahead by a point, he asked them again, are you behind me? And they were properly behind him. They believed by that stage, James. Like, come on. Like, what a masterclass.
Yeah. Oh, they were absolutely outstanding. In every aspect of the game, to be fair. We'll get to Donegal, but it has to be about Down. Like, the individual performances were sensational. I thought Guinness again was fantastic at seven, wearing seven, but where he plays, God knows. He's everywhere. And he's silky, he's classy, he's stocky, he's strong, he's cheeky, he just has a little bit of everything. Murdoch midfield, absolutely a leader, coming up with huge scores, both feet, good in the air, great defensively. Haver coming up with two pointers. Like, they just had a little bit of everything. And then the real aspect that got them there, I think, or gave them the foothold, was both kickouts. But, in fairness to
Mulroney.
Yeah, he actually had a very good game. He was actually nearly Donegal's best player. But on their own kickout, Down picked little 35-yarders, little 40-yarder, kind of those mid-rangey ones. And Donegal were so strong on that against Kerry, they eliminated all of them. But Down got them off very easily. And
that's a lot of time on the GAA Plus.
Small little Chris.
That's Ronan Burns.
Let him finish. Let him finish here.
Sometimes what GAA Plus do is they show the replay and leave the kick out. I want to see every kick out. And then do the TG Cahir. Do the replay in the corner.
Jimmy, leave it with me.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Tommy, right, edit that bit out there, please. Eliminate that from the pod, please.
But they were so good.
Cut this out.
They were so good in that kick out. Did so many times, Tommy. So many times.
That's the goalkeeper. That's the goalkeeper, right?
Yeah, the camera came down. Or when the camera came back.
Okay, Jimmy, you made your point. They were on the 40. Fine. That's okay. This is okay. Moving swiftly on. Back to Down and a brilliant performance.
They attacked with such speed and pace, and the kick out was the main part of it. Now, I do want to criticise Donegal before we go any further.
Yes, have your say.
First of all, I thought their body language was off slightly. Like, there's something about Donegal where they almost beat you in the dressing room at times, or when you come out, they're so at it. It just didn't feel like that at all. Mm. Even that we did a couple of frees and Murphy kind of trots over to them really slow and taking his time. And I'm like, Jesus, are you at it? And I don't think they were. And they lost the game in the first 10 minutes. They had such uncharacteristic wides. And all the big boys had them. Like, Murphy missed a free from the 21. Gallen misses one. O'Donnell misses one. Conor Doherty kicks one up in the air and they end up getting a goal off it. Their shooting was just off as well. And that gave Down this kind of belief where they could buy in. Whereas if Donegal had done the business in the first 10 minutes, they could have been 5 or 6 points up and they could have managed the game a lot differently. But as soon as Down had a foothold in the game, along with the tactical elements that they got so right, they started growing and growing and growing and growing and just played outstanding after that. But I think when you're playing an underdog like that, the start of the game is the most important. You have to lay down the marker. You have to beat them early. And they kicked away such easy opportunities. And next thing, Down just got life. And they were, from that point on, from 10 minutes on, Down were magnificent. They were by far the better team. It wasn't like Donegal played poorly and let Down win. It was just the first 10 minutes, Donegal were shocking and Down grew.
Isn't a bit, boys, like we mentioned it nearly in jest, just in passing on last week's show, talking about this game. Like, Derry won the league 2 years ago with Mickey Hart. And Donegal, Derry, where everyone was talking about this team, Mickey Hart was going to be the next step to finally help Derry win the All-Ireland. And Jim McGuinness and Donegal were just waiting in the long grass for that first round of the Ulster Championship, waiting for them. And Donegal, what is it, 6 weeks ago, not even since that, obliterated Kerry in the league final. And it's the surprising thing, because I agree with you, Jimmy. The Donegal kind of got it together maybe third quarter. And you think, okay, they got it back level. And you think coming down the stretch, they're going to get this job done here and they're going to get away with one. But you just don't associate Donegal with being complacent and being maybe outfoxed. And like, I agree, Jimmy. Like, you have the conversion rate they had in that first half. With the quality of players that they are, there's no getting away from it. That is... in places, you're taking your eye off the ball.
Mm.
And it's just such an un-Donegal thing. You know, players like Murphy, Gannon, they don't miss shots like that if you are laser-focused. And that was the part. And then I agree, Jimmy, I think a key thing for Down, and I didn't think many teams could do this. I definitely didn't think a Division 3 team could do this. Out-Donegal. You look at, like, Murdoch in the middle. Okay, Langan is a miss. We get that. But you still think Donegal have enough... But what you're thinking, McGee, McFadden, Langan, Murphy, Donegal, landed the joints around the middle. Nobody's going to get the better of them there. But Murdoch is the dominant midfielder there. Look at Caleb. Conor O'Donnell's been one of the outstanding forwards. Probably the best
Mooney,
forward in the country.
Mooney's only back. He's only back.
Caleb Mooney's track back. This is like, it'll be in a coaching manual. Oh, he knows 50 odd minutes.
Sensation.
Chases him down. Like, no one else is getting, and then like flicks it off him. Unbelievable. Yeah. Callum Doherty.
He mows him down.
What we talk about, we'll get to Mayo and the second half performance against the Rossi and like the old Mayo coming out and just headless stuff. Like, Down are going 100 miles an hour and then Callum Doherty at 11 like Kilcoo, obviously close relationship with Laverty, nearly like Laverty as a player, just calm, just composure. Let's do the right thing. Let's be really clinical about things. Liam Kerr and his pace. You're going to, Donegal are going to overrun team, not this down team. You know, and it's just, maybe hands up, we were sleeping on them because they're a Division 3 team and they struggled to win the final. And Laverty alluded to it. And you think, there's no way these guys are going to do anything against Donegal. But then you look at Donegal, are a little bit off it, and Down have the athleticism, the physique, and then, as Laverty spoke about, the belief, to go, yeah, we can go toe-to-toe this. And if Donegal are off, and I agree with you, Jimmy, you're a big favourite, and you give the opposition the first quarter to settle into the game, you are asking for trouble. You are leaving yourself open to a knockout punch, and Down, Donegal still nearly got away with it. It was a couple of late goals. Donegal could have got through this one, but all those things thrown into the mix, but those performances, Murdoch, like, sensational, and Donegal being a little bit off it. What a result.
Guinness has made a habit of those 20-yard rockets into the back of the net. We don't see enough of that fellas pulling the trigger low from 20 yards out. He catches keepers out all the time.
It hits the deck. Just, if it hits the deck, it's going in, because, especially in a rock hard ground, no, it's hitting the deck, and it's just it's taking off.
Can I ask a quick question? I have a couple of quick ones. How on earth are Donegal operating the way they're operating at, and they don't have a left-footed free taker?
I know. I think I did say it in the pod a long time ago. I was like, that's something. And who else didn't have one? Cork don't have one either. Was there one or two other teams? It's a cert. It should be. You should be guaranteed your place in the team if you can kick the ball with your left. Because Murphy actually has a chance in the first half. He kicks it short. And then the one he hits the post with, it's only just a left-legged kick. But he didn't look comfortable on it.
But you nearly have Pat Armogan doing reps there after training to get him to do them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need to have somebody there that you can bank
Morgan's
on.
Morgan's more of an outsider boot shooter. But, you know, we just missed... do you know when you're saying that Quaylen Mooney tracked down O'Donnell that time?
Yeah.
There was another one. The last play in the first half, Rorty's coming out of defence and Quaylen Doherty tracks him down. I mean, he puts the head down.
Caelum.
What's I call him?
Yeah. He was calling him Caelum. So it's not Caelum. It's not Quaylum. It's...
You're close. Caelum.
It's easy.
It's close. You're both close.
We're getting there, man. We're getting there.
See Doherty.
Correct.
But Doherty chases him down. He puts the head down. And I mean, not many catch Rorty at full pace either. In the middle of the field, he rips the ball from off him, right? And it gives down that last attack. They take their time. And again, Mooney gets an outrageous score with the outside of the right just before the hooter. And I mean, going in at halftime after scoring that score with a turnover and a great piece of skill, you are alive in the dressing room. It was just a huge moment, and you can kind of miss those little things, but they're key.
There was another incredible moment in the post-match, and I want to ask you both about prepping for a game plan. James, I've heard you talk about the All-Ireland Final of 14 and maybe how you changed things that day and worked on a game plan and the build-up to it. I'm sure in both of your days, you've had times when you've gone in as underdogs and sprung a surprise. Maybe not too many when you're from Dublin and Kerry. But like the plan that Laverty cooked up and the manner in which he's built this down team over the last couple of years. He was with the 20s. They had the Tailteann Cup win. They were the great entertainers last summer going forward with a couple of scalps. But there must be something beyond that too. He spoke about, he met a couple in the media after the game. I'm reading Alan Foley's piece here in The Examiner. And he showed the press his screensaver on his phone. A graphic of the provincial draw, which was shown on television a couple of weeks ago. And it read, Armagh Tyrone versus Donegal. No Down. And he said, last night I showed the boys this. He said, I've been looking at this every day for 3 weeks. But there has to be more that goes into it beyond those psychological maybe moments where you can catch a couple of boys and give them a bit of extra. Like, there's a bit of genius that goes into it too.
I would say so. I mean, again, some fellas eat that up, you know, like that little bit of disrespect and things. It was never necessarily something that got me going that much, but
I gathered that from your tone of answer there, Jimmy. Some fellas love that, but
never got your juices flowing.
I can definitely see when it comes to, there's something about the Ulster Championship, right, where they can get themselves to a level of emotional, like,
insanity.
I don't know, excruciatingly driven behavior. And it's required, because like it's so nip and tuck and so hard to win any game up there. And I'd say, in fairness to Laverty, I think he has a lot of aspects to his management. He obviously has the tactical approach. He's been there, he's done it, he understands players, but then he's obviously been able to tap into this motivational scene, which is key. A lot of managers don't have that at all. And like I said, some players don't buy into it, but even if you can just bring a couple along with you to get them to that level of intensity or that level of kind of motivation, it can be key. Again, it depends on every individual fella.
It depends on the team, the situation you're in, but like, I've no doubt that, like, if you're one of those down players and you're somehow listening to any sort of media coverage, which we always say, nobody reads the papers, nobody listens to the media, whatever. No one has given that team a chance to beat Donegal. Not a hope. So that motivation and that having a chip on your shoulder is important in the game, because you have to make your players believe. He alluded to himself, that was a challenge for him. But things like that help you get a little bit of fire, even in the lads like a Jimmy or even similar to myself. That wouldn't really rock my boat, but sometimes you need it. So it was really important for such an underdog to have that aspect. But let's not get away from the fact of like getting your matchups right. Kick-out strategy. On the ball, the turnovers. Look at the transitions that Down were having. None of those things happen by accident. That's not just going, oh, we've got really fast players, this will work out. Look at, like, again, we'll get to Mayo in the second half. You know, this can go horribly wrong if you're not totally prepared and everyone's on the same wavelength. So, yes, Laverty is speaking about maybe the more emotional side of things, because that's a great story. That's what we're talking about. It. People love to hear stuff like that, things like that. Or anecdotes like that. But the work he has done on the pitch and his coaches and those players, like over the last 10 days, over the last 10 months, really, for a game like this, that's the brilliant coaching. That we turn Donegal over here, we push them down the channel, we get a turnover on Rorty. This is what they're going to be set up like. This is where we need to hit at pace. And again, Murdoch is a brilliant player, Haven can score, but they're not like, these are not household, you know, get the ball into David Clifford, we'd be grand here. He's got to use the players he has and play to their strengths and develop a game plan that can take out, for what many people say, and I still think, probably all Ireland favourites, even though what's happened today. So, yes, the you know, disrespect and people talking about Albedis, that's fine. That's a good story.
Yeah.
But he deserves, and those Down players deserve a lot more credit than just that.
Yes. And the way that things go, Paddy and James, they have an Ulster semi-final against Armagh next Sunday in Clonus, and they're still not guaranteed at their place in
Sam McGuire. They ain't going to be big favourites for that either one. I was there last night on the sideline, and Armagh looked very, very good, in attack at least.
Beyond young Darren...
Don't have to win to get into Sam McGuire at all. Like, that is...
It's incredible.
It's so hard. Well, look,
If Kildare beat Westmeath, which is on around the same time, they're secure of their place in Sam McGuire Downer, I think. Yeah, they are.
Chance there. But, I'll be at that.
You know, but they have two chances. But a very quick one on Donegal. Can anyone give me an answer as to why they looked as flat as they did?
I don't think they got... Actually, it's probably ties back to the Laverty point with the motivation. They got to that emotional level of where they needed to be. But, like, I have never seen Donegal turn over as much ball in attack. Between dropping balls or kicking balls up in the air, right, and being caught by the defenders. Which is so unlike them. Working the wrong shot. Being turned over in the tackle. Like, McGee was turned... I've never seen anyone strip the ball off of McGee. He was stripped by Guinness twice, I think. And then Down were just going the length of the field with powerful runners, skillful players, kicking when they needed to, running it when they needed to, and just working a nice score on the counter-attack. So, look, I honestly think that Donegal kind of made their own problems with how badly they started, and they couldn't get back up to the level, and then Donegal were just there.
We'll come back. Just on Donegal, because we won't be talking about it for another
couple of weeks
now.
Yeah.
they learn a hell of a lot from this. They ain't going to be as bad again. And in the grand scheme, they ain't going to be feeling it now, and they definitely ain't going to be feeling it tomorrow when they review that match. But eyes on the prize for Sam Maguire in July. Is it maybe a little bit of an easier route now than having to play Armagh next weekend? Yeah. Maybe Derry in an Ulster final, the slog of winning three Anglo Celts in a row. We know how important it is up there, winning the Ulster Championship, and for those players, they've all said it. But long term, we said last year, even Kerry, who won the thing, teams have bad games throughout the Championship. The way the structure is, no one anymore got plays 9-10 games and is brilliant in all of them. Donegal got a lesson today. They learned a hell of a lot. As Laverty again spoke afterwards, the criticism they got in their league final win over Wexford, it felt like a defeat for them nearly, so they didn't celebrate. So you learn a hell of a lot from bad performances. Won't feel like it tonight, won't feel like it tomorrow, but this might not be the worst thing in terms of Donegal getting back on the horse in the All-Ireland series. I still have them, still, as the All-Ireland favourites in my book, despite what happened today.
That's very interesting. So
the losers of these rounds of games, right, are going to be away to a provincial winner, is that right?
Yeah.
Those ties are going to be absolutely sensational.
It's going to be box office, man. It's going to be box office.
Like, oh yeah. My God. With the teams that are falling, it's going
Kerry
to be...
Kerry want to throw that Munster final, Jimmy. Kerry want to throw that Munster final in Killarney. They want to be playing Donegal in round one. Like.
If no, Kerry the thing is, say it was tactical,
See, the thing is, and it's funny, it doesn't make a difference whether you win or you lose your provincial final. You're a round one seed. Okay. Provincial finalists are drawn at home against the 800 teams. So you've got, at the minute, you've got Meath, Tyrone, Donegal, Kildare, for example, Mayo, of course. We'll get to that in a minute. Paddy, before we get, because we don't have time to get into all the games, I know you want to talk about Armagh Fermanagh and you want to talk about Leitrim Galway. You were at the two of them yesterday, but we're going to be quick on both of them. Darren McGurn put on an exhibition late in the game. He kicked 112 for Fermanagh. It was a real bright spark for them in the second half. Give me 60 seconds on the Armagh-Fermanagh game. You were there.
It's like the Armagh Sunday
scored 232. Unbelievable. Like so slick. All the criticism of them in the National League. Waste from the front of the post. Couldn't score goals. They worked brilliant goals. Probably could have had a couple of more. They're really, really efficient. They turn the ball over or they get a long kick out off. Rafferty made a goal. That was probably the big thing. Why did he drop Lane Hughes? Rafferty was very good though, but Armagh looks so slick. But in saying that, they conceded 124. Fermanagh won one match in the league, relegated to Division 4. They had 14 misses. I was standing behind the goal in the first half. Imagine missing 14 shots in one half of football. They had 9 wides and 5 drops short. I was like, can I go home now? I don't want to watch the second half of this. But I'm glad I did, because Darren McGurn scored 112 from play. Sensational. Like, that was the bright spark. For Fermanagh, and again, 5 minutes into the second half, Declan Bonner must be thinking, it looked bad, Armagh started strong, and you're thinking, this is going to be 30-40 point defeat here, like record stuff. But for credit to Fermanagh, stuck at it, but Darren McGurn hit 112 for play, lads. Some of the scores he was getting. He scored 124 and still lose by 11 points. So, terrible game, but Armagh looked really good. I'd still have his favourites against them.
Turbot looked good. Mernon was back. Kieran Macken was back after injury. Some of the best backs. The referee points.
Gerly O'Burns was very good. It was a really good collective display. Armagh the best. Really slick, running the ball. Fermanagh, terrible, but credit to them in the second half for showing some balls. And Darren McGurn. Yeah. Jimmy, you want to see somebody score? Yeah. He's kicking it from way downtown. Man of the match. Imagine getting man of the match in your team.
I saw the goal.
He's a unit. And he takes his football very, very seriously. You can see on
where did he play?
SSC coach.
I know he's wearing 14, wasn't he? But he looked to be
full forward in the first half, second half.
He's staying there.
He had a couple of misses himself in the first half. No, so he was scoring. Jimmy, he was scoring from 60 meters out. He was shooting from that line. Like it was a clinic. So
okay. That was our Armagh Fermanagh. Leitrim nearly pulled and should have pulled off. We talked about Wicklow last week blowing their chance against the Dubs. Put it to you this way, like big Barry McNulty comes into the game in the second half, probably didn't have shooting boots on, like he made a couple of big fetches.
I think he had 8 shots at the post and missed them all yesterday.
So no, well he scored one big 2-pointer, but he did miss the other 7. Yeah.
This was, and clearly a talented player, he's only 20 and there was a lot of pressure on him, a lot of talk in the piece we would have done before the game, because he was brilliant against Sligo, but it was just one of those things, and to be fair, Stephen Poacher spoke with this before. Leitrim were a very young team, you know, and they're
a big ask from Petroia and beat Galway. But you know, when a game like that, here's a young fella, there's so much pressure on him, gets off to a rocky start. I was kind of just looking at him, just the next possession you get, just take a solo and just pop it off to someone. Just complete the possession. Mm. But he was just kept taking on shots. He took a shot on long range free in the second half. Lads, he was nearly in the halfway line. I was like, don't take that shot. Like, your stats aren't good here. Just move the ball along. Just get two or three possessions to your teammates and then grow into the game. But that's just a lesson for younger players. Barry McNulty's a brilliant player. Loads of talent. He'll be back. He'll learn a lot from that. But it was just glaringly obvious. Here's a guy who kind of maybe felt the pressure of coming in, probably for the first time, being kind of the national spotlight. Did Fenton compare him to like David Clifford? And some were saying
something like that. Like, I think Fenton, so. Yeah.
Come on, you're new to this. Don't be doing that to this kid. Like, Jesus Christ, man. So that kind of showed.
But
Galway really not good. Sloppy. A bit of that Donegal from today. And Leitrim wasn't a great game again, boys. But Leitrim, the opportunities they had.
Yeah.
It must be hard
similar to Wicklow Dublin the week before. Ready. Yeah, there's a bit of that. I think Pádraig Joyce is relatively happy with that one, kind of going, we won, we're into the final, and I can absolutely hammer every one of his players for the next 2 weeks before the Roscommon game.
And
that's a brilliant position for a manager to be in. Comer Walsh back on is probably the big story from this. Still the issues in goal, problem for them. But the two boys getting back on the pitch is important. But for Joyce, it's a perfect thing to go into the hide in 2 weeks' time. It's going, lads. And you know, he kind of has that way about him. He'll hammer those players and give them a rocket to get up for the final, because they were nearly caught, very nearly caught.
Galway's subs were obviously Conor Gleeson for the black card after Flaherty brought down the Leitrim wing forward for the penalty, McLaughlin for the penalty. Gleeson then gives away a kick out, a goal comes from it, so you mentioned the struggles there. Sean Kelly comes off the bench, kicks
the
point.
Short ones, lads. Cannot do the short kick out.
So the bench then, Shane Walsh, 3 points off the bench, Sean Kelly off the bench, Damien Comer comes off the bench, and Shane McGrath kicks a big point when they needed it off the bench as well. Leitrim, young Oisín McLaughlin scores 1-1, Paul Honeyman comes off the bench, scores 2 points, and Jack Kelly with a goal as well. They were close, they were in the mix, but they just didn't quite get far enough. Spotted Pádraig Joyce out of the corner of my eye at the back of the stand in McCain Park today.
Camera cut to him, yeah.
He bet the traffic too, and he was able to beat the traffic, because Roscommon lads, we're going to linger on this for a little while, put on an absolute clinic in the second half today. They wiped Mayo. Like, there's no other way about it. Like, they wiped them in the second half. On their own kickout, on the Mayo kickout, it was a hammering, 10-point hammering.
It was.
Didn't see that one coming.
I know that people are saying that Mayo played well in the first half and Roscommon maybe didn't, but I reckon that wind was very strong. And I don't think
it was strong-ish.
That Mayo
it wasn't that strong, but it was strong.
Okay, but I don't think Mayo played when you're taking a shot. Abandoned, or they didn't play with any freedom again or expression. Like, and it's kind of a way to, you can kind of link back to Westmeath forwards last weekend, the way they played. Like, that's not almost the benchmark now in my head for seeing free forward play. They were just so kind of doing the safe
slow
thing. Slow, sluggish, safe. And under the new rules, if there's a wind, you're not going to score enough. If you then see what Roscommon did at the start of the second half, it was just on fast forward. Everything was just so quick and powerful and pacey and slick and efficient. Next ball. You know, they couldn't score quick enough. And before you knew it, the game turned around and they were 10 points up. Again, unbelievable performances by some of the Roscommon fellas. And it's some turnaround, because Mayo have beaten them twice already this year.
Is Dermot Murtagh in your top 10 now? After today, 11 shots, 1-10. Like, poor old Darren McGurn is thinking, I'm forward of the weekend here. And then Dermot Murtagh goes in today with 11 shots and scores 1-10.
James, what I've learned. What I've learned from a couple of years of my youthful broadcasting career is that when you're wrong, it's okay to put your hands up and admit that you're wrong.
And you have been wrong many a time. Okay, I might have been wrong. But I said my point was on form.
I get you.
No, he was. And Formby was still... It was
like, top scorer in the country.
I couldn't put two Roscommon fellas in.
Why couldn't you? Roscommon are feckin' favourites for the All-Ireland
well,
now.
Roscommon fellas were on to me.
Top your power rankings.
They're starting six forwards.
See Jim Gavin doing the power rankings, lads.
No, I missed that. I missed that one.
He's on after ball. He's on after...
I heard he was on
the pod. Jay, I haven't asked him about the power rankings. I was like, Jim, don't answer that question.
Jim, gone to the dark side with the
Kieran Murtagh is on the can view just, with me tomorrow. So I look forward to hearing from the Rossi angle. What a brilliant victory.
James spoke about being on fast forward at the start of the second half. Before Mayo, pretty much, like, apart from Roscommon dropping two shots short, Mayo didn't really get their paws on the ball. And actually, the two shots that Roscommon dropped short at the start of the second half, Roscommon won them again and eventually got a point out of it. But from the throw-in that they won the break-off till the 41st minute, Roscommon kicked 6 points and went from being 3 points down to 3 points up. Yeah. Mayo didn't know what hit him. McDonald then, like, there's no getting away from it. He's a kid. We know he's a kid. But Cody McDonald was the only Mayo footballer really, really that went at Roscommon in that second half. That came off the field with any credit, really, like.
He was. Like, in fairness to him, he showed me more there now in that little cameo in that second half than you could take from the other games where he was scoring the goals or whatever. He actually wanted to lead the team. He was like, I'm still going to take on my shots. He missed a few. He skewed a few. But then he throws one down the deck and pings it over. The score he got with the two dummies...
The double dummy.
It was a pity that that's on the losing side because it was such class. But it did expose the rest of the Mayo attack for being so not on that level. And at the start of the season, Ryan Rennie was playing excellent at 11.
He scored a great goal.
Now I'm thinking, is the fact that they weren't kicking the ball because there's no one to actually receive it in there? Like, it's very much a two-part skill there. It has to be the receiver as well.
That's why he's in there. Like.
Yeah, when Killian O'Connor came on, he was actually making himself available for kick pass and the game was over. But Mayo looked to be playing a better brand. Killian, he missed one or two, but like it looked like he can still do a job in there. But I think that the game was almost passing right on who by a little bit. If he was inside, he would have been able to show for those kick passes. Maybe they could have moved the ball a bit more fluidly.
Paddy, Andy Moran made four substitutions by the 44th minute. They were being wiped in the middle third. Like, they were struggling to win ball on the ground, in the air. Can't be a nice place to be on the sideline. Like, what happened to Mayo in that second half?
Well, I'd be interested. Like, what was the atmosphere like in the stadium, Tommy, with supporters?
Very, very strange atmosphere. There was only 15,000 there, but there was a bit of uproar during the week that the Connacht Council have put tickets to £35 in the stand. And the stand in front of me was not full. And I've never been to a Mayo game that hasn't been full. And actually, of the 15,000, it felt like a lot of Roscommon people there.
Up but it was at 35, and then if you wanted to bring a kid, the kid was 35 as well.
Yeah, and there was a gentleman disgrace, beside me with his three kids. Jesus.
Fuck
there,
that.
Yeah.
That's a total fucking disgrace. I have a serious BME bonnet with that.
Didn't go down well.
35 massive. For a kid.
No discount.
For a stand ticket, yeah.
What are you at here? Tommy, air that. That is a disgrace. I'm not having that. That is bullshit. So anyway, sorry. Aside from that, no, that really annoyed me. I don't know, but I heard that and I was like, and then you looked at it and there's no one there. No one there because of that. Like, for families going along, like, not having that. Anyway.
It used to be you could buy your ticket, I think, for 35, or if you had a season ticket, a children's terrace ticket would be €5. But the Connacht Council have decided, they're leaking money and they need to charge it. So, and it showed today, lads. I have a video from the game. I couldn't believe it when the teams were doing their walk around the
glorious
field.
Glorious weather, massive empty game, Connacht Championship, and...
Yeah.
No, not the thing. Anyway.
So how many were there? For 15,000?
There was 15,000, yeah, but there's a lot of Roscommon fans. 20-odd.
25.
Close to 30.
Look at the stand. Like, the camera's facing it, and it's just like, geez, why is that place not full for a game?
Yeah, the only other thing I'd say is that it's feckin' freezing in the stand in McHale Park. When it's a sunny day, you're better off being on the terrace, but there you go.
Anyway, for Mayo, right, the disappointing thing, and I thought they were quite good in the first half. I thought they were a better team. Murta gets the goal anyway, kind of keeps the Rossies in it. But like the talk around Mayo all year, and like with Andy going in, Colin Boyle, these younger players like Kobe coming in, and I agree, that was a real, we know he has the technical ability. That's this guy, phenomenal talent. But the balls he's kind of showing there today and that kind of attitude, he will be such a loss for them when he goes because they don't have a player like him. Mm. Imagine how good he will continue to be if he stays and plays for the next 3 or 4 years. But there was a buzz around Mayo, an energy around him in a tough couple of years, and there was like a freshness. We've young forwards coming in. We're going to play with that abandon. Andy's the manager, kind of one of our own, one of our best players. And it was just a feel-good factor. And then Kobe obviously plays a massive part in that as well. And then you see that second half performance there, and I'm watching it and I'm going, I have seen this film before about 20 different times. That was the most Mayo second half of all Mayoness over the last 20 years. It was everything that is bad about Mayo teams not getting over the line in the past. Just total lack of composure. We're talking about Callum Doherty for down in the second half. Someone just kind of going control. We can still go really fast and make things happen, but we can be clinical and precise about how we do things. And Mayo in the second half, terrible conversion rate, trying to force things, just really, really bad technical skills. Like hand passing the ball over the end line, just totally missing your mark. Never mind the shooting, kickouts going awry. No, Matty Rowan, Bob Toohey, Aidan O'Shea, like big guys around the, just not getting near, totally outworked. You know, Mayo aren't good enough to be outworked. You know, they can't get away with winning games in second gear. But the worst thing for me looking at that, and I'm sure there's Mayo supporters looking at this going, this was meant to be a new dawn. You know, a different Mayo, like a more energized, younger, and maybe not carrying the baggage of legacy and defeats and all that sort of things. But I was watching that second half just going, I have seen that from Mayo teams for the last decade. Just headless, crazy stuff happening. Just the wides is one thing, but just total skill execution just on the floor in the second half. And then I agree with Jimmy, and they spoke pretty coruscant, spoke pretty strongly about it with Sunday game afterwards as well. Just like, where was the leadership there? Like Kobe McDonald's a teenager making his debut, and you're looking around going, what's happening there? Like, where's everyone else in this? And you get into a game where the momentum goes against you and maybe you start trying to force things, but the whole team can't do that. That's where you're relying on going, I need 3 or 4 or 5 guys to go, let's just settle the nerves here and let's just try and clip a score and just get back on the horse. And Mayo just total and utter systems failure in that second half. And the worst thing about it is it's just that energy and hope that Mayo supporters had coming into the season. And even as a neutral looking at it going, it'd be nice to see these guys do something, this new style of play. But that was like the worst of old Mayo second half. Really, really worrying for them.
Interesting to hear you say that. Old Mayo, like when you say old Mayo, this is the team you came up against a lot, right?
Yeah. And even before that, Tommy, just decision making, bad shots, bad skill execution, and just compounding errors one after another. Flynner actually said, used the reference, headlessness. And you're going, that's Mayo at the worst.
They were,
you know, we know what they're like at their best, but it was like,
yeah.
But it was just the hope, it's the hope that kills you. You're thinking, this is going to be a new thing, Andy and younger players and all that type of stuff. And you just didn't see it. You just,
yeah.
Do you know when that happens, Tom?
Go on, James, yeah.
They were starved of possession at the start of the second half, right? And then if you don't have that leadership to just take you through that 5 minutes, maybe talk you through, you know, we'll play a slow attack or we'll sit back, you know, just someone to talk you through. If you don't have that, and next thing one fella makes a mistake, it just compounds. Next thing the next fella does, next thing the game is gone and you're panicking and it gets away from you in the new rules like that. It is gone.
Momentum.
And I think that's what happened to me. I was like one mistake after the other, couldn't get their hands on the ball. And when they did, they were too jiggy on it and just lost it. And Roscommon were down the other end of the field. And then from the kickoffs, the way they couldn't get the ball. When Enda Smith for Heenan's goal,
Oh,
like you should not be scoring a goal straight from a kick-out, realistically. No. Like,
but there's a lot of chances these days from them.
There is. But if you don't have someone to compete for that, like he kind of juggled it and he just tipped it over and it was a great bit of play by Enda Smith. Like to win that and then work the goal, it was phenomenal forward play. But you know, when things are just going wrong and someone scores a goal straight off their kick-out, it's a real kick in the stomach.
And that has arrived seconds after McDonald had just scored a 2-point free off the deck to make it a six. I think he made it a 6-point game at that stage.
The game wasn't over at that stage. Yeah, even when it was yeah. like 10. I see the game's not gone at any stage. They were way off the pace. James, the game felt, is never James, gone in the rules.
No, it felt no, but it felt you know, it actually felt today.
But just I didn't see Mayo no, scoring five spins on the track.
But there was a weird vibe, and I don't know whether that's just there was a weird vibe today, like. I don't know. There was a weird atmosphere there. It didn't feel like Mayo were still in. And I know what you're saying. And Paddy, I'm with you. But it just, or James, I'm with you. Like, I get what you're saying, but Paddy is right there. It never felt like they were going to come back there, which is alarming in one sense. But yeah. they're into the other side of the draw,
just
Paddy.
Just to contrast, the Galway game yesterday, Galway really slapped in front of the post the first half. They had 7 misses in the first quarter. And a couple of younger guys playing, O'Cadela and... McDonagh, isn't that the corner forward? It was actually pretty good in the league. Probably maybe trying to force things a little bit, which is fine. It can happen. Again, you're into a game against Leeds where you're red hot favourites. You feel like, Jesus, we should be 20 points up here. You know, maybe start trying to force it. Bad misses. Paul Connery. Chills out. Top of the arc. And he's just like, right, the next ball, just work it around. And Galway, kind of get it around. Get it back to Connery. He nails it. Now, he's probably nearly a better 2-point shooter than 1-point shooter. And that's what I'm talking about, of just like,
yeah,
maybe a bit more experienced team and a bit of leadership. And it's like, we're forcing things here. We're taking on things. We're compounding errors. Let's just get the ball to a key guy in the right position, right in front of the post, and let him do what he does best. And that just settles everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what Mayo have, guys like that. You know, Killian is on the pitch at the end. Aidan O'Shea was probably gone off by that time, but Ryan O'Donoghue was probably that type of guy. Matty Rowan does get a score in the second half, but like Jordan Flynn, these kind of big personalities, leaders in the Mayo team, Paddy Durkin even, you know, get the ball to one of them in the best position, and even they were off the radar. So that's what we're talking about. Just
okay. Yeah.
Got away from them.
We're going to come back
for later in the year for them.
Well, yeah, it is, right? But... everyone's going to start from the same position in round one of the qualifiers. They'll have an away game, right? Can Mayo,
what's
Donegal,
ceiling, Tommy?
Can Meath? I don't know, but I'm just saying, can they fix some of the issues that were there over the next 3 weeks? I feel like, you know, to be writing off a team this early would be, in what we've seen.
Do you know what it does? It's like, it confirms they're not going to win the All-Ireland, which is maybe the... is that a new thing? We knew that last week. No one's tipping them to win the All-Ireland. But what it shows is, yeah, they're going through that drop. And in the first half, they showed enough. And at times in the league, I guarantee Mayo will beat a big team in the summer. And they'll get to an All-Ireland quarterfinal. They might even beat someone big in that. But the old failings were there that shows they are not going to win 5 games on the spin, which is what is needed. They're nowhere near that. And maybe that's not new news, but today just confirmed it.
Yeah, and I think it probably is a long-term project for Mayo. But for Roscommon, just to, before we get to the break, lads, just the depth of the panel that Mark Dowd has built in his first year, like, it was striking. Rory Fallon, Brian Stack, Pierce Frost, Tree to Bridges boys are in a standby panel today from 27 to 30. None of them are right. They're not ready yet. He released them to play club football on Saturday night for St. Bridget's. They're part of a team. Ben O'Carroll plays the same night. And I just think that's such a good sign. You know, Conor Hahn comes off the bench. Shane Conan comes off the bench. Conor Carroll is brilliant in goals. Probably his best game of the year so far from the Bridget's contingent. But like, Dara Craig is suspended. And young Dara Heenahan, who showed flashes during the league, was awesome today. Like, the speed of that lad. You just have to be so impressed with the panel that Roscommon have developed there as well.
100%. Like, they have, you know, familiar names. Like, even to see Conor Hahn and Conan on the bench after their performances in the club season. Like, in the latter stages of the club, they were absolutely phenomenal. Like, so, yeah, Roscommon are building something. Again, we don't want to be too not too optimistic, but you know, there's another big game around the corner for them against Galway. If they can get over that, it does, it puts them in a different bracket. But I think that's a big test for them. Like Galway, yeah. Galway are more down the line than Mayo in terms of if they have that rocky patch, they'll be able to steady it. They're very good on the kickouts. Their conversion will get better. Joyce left them in a good place. Again, that's a really hard game to call, that kind of final. But it's a big, big test. I mean, that's the one now where we can really gauge Roscommon. Because they caught, they shouldn't have won, but they caught Mayo cold and they've absolutely blown them out the water. So we'll see, can they keep that going into a kind of final against a good Galway side?
Yeah, I back them to. It's going to be in the hide. It's going to be a lot of fun. Galway chasing five in a row. The first Galway team since the 60s, Mayo did it under Horan at the start of the last decade. So that's going to be really interesting. We'll be building up to that. We're going to come back after the break.
He will. He only got one game. Provincial finals. You got Cork, Kerry and Munster. Unbelievable in Killarney. Rossi's Galway in the hide.
Yeah.
I'm going to put out the lane.
Load in Westmeath.
I'm going to think we're going to see an Armagh Derry Ulster final.
Oh.
Yeah. And
be careful.
Leinster's the best provincial championship we've ever seen. We've never seen anything like this. It's what? Ah, oh, so good.
That's
so
Laverty. Do you see the Laverty's alarm clock sorted for the next couple of weeks?
Fuckers on the pod. Nobody gave me a chance, man. I want an Ulster medal. If they'll win this thing, I want a little medal.
I'll send it to them. And I love how you didn't pick Leinster duo there, Paddy. But
who knows? We just don't know, Tommy.
We come back to that after the break.
The semi finals this weekend.
I was in Cusack Park on Saturday and watched Clare put up a really good performance, 55-60 minutes against Kerry. A very interesting element of the game we'll talk about just after the break. It was the use of screens. We're back in a minute on the Football Pod.
OTB GAA.
Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue. A very interesting weekend of Gaelic football. Saturday, Paddy, we mentioned the Galway win, the Armagh win. Leitrim really putting it up to them, the manner in which maybe Wicklow did against the Dubs. I felt watching Clare against the All-Ireland champions, Kerry, that if they took a bit more of a risk, if they went for it a bit more, they threw off the shackles, they had loads of really kind of good kind of matchups in play and competed really well around midfield. Brian McNamara was the outstanding footballer for much of that game in around midfield. Kerry seemed a little bit rusty and only had six starters from the All-Ireland final. And I don't know, I just felt like if Clare threw off the shackles a bit more and maybe went for it, it could have been a bit more interesting going down the stretch. There were always probably a score, two scores out, and Kerry kind of held them off. What's the vibe, James, after Kerry got the job done? Obviously Cork getting the job done as well. You got the Munster final that you've been craving.
I think the vibe down here is a little bit of worry about the injury situation, to be honest, because... Yeah,
Tom Sullivan went off as well at the weekend. Didn't look great.
Yeah, like... I know you can just rattle it off. Oh, they're missing nine from the start. Like, that is so many. Nine starters from the All-Ireland final. Like, how many teams can just plug nine holes? You know, if you maybe three, you'd be saying they're pushed to plug nine gaps. Now, at the same time, Kerry do have a very strong panel. They do, and Jack has brought on fellas well throughout the league, and they have a great setup in there. But still plugging nine holes is going to be no joke. So... the vibe down here is a little bit of concern over that. We don't know who's going to be playing in the Munster final in terms of who's going to be coming back. There's, I suppose, positivity around most fellas in terms of who's going to be back for it. But like
Jack said afterwards, there'll be nobody back.
He has to say that to you, Tom.
He does.
Well, look, I'm sure...
Guarded around you, Tommy. You've ruffled feathers down there, man.
I think Jack doesn't mind me. Jack knows where I'm coming from.
That's what I heard.
Who are you listening to, Paddy? Are you in my DMs like all the Kerry fans
I'm getting feedback from the kingdom going, that fucking rumour. Yeah.
If you are Cork, though, I mean, God help us, they must smell a chance. Like, they must.
Which Cork?
Coming down to Clare.
Which Cork are we talking about here? Huh? Which Cork are we talking about here?
The Cork footballers, Tom.
Are we talking about the Cork team that didn't kick a point for 17 minutes the weekend against Tipperary?
They won by 15 points.
They did. But I'm just asking you, which Cork are we talking about here?
We're talking about the one that won by 15 points. Coming down to
Clare. Are we talking about the Cork in every Kerry man's imagination? the Cork that you hope arrive to Killarney.
What do you mean hope? We don't. We hope that we can win the game. We're not hoping for it to be beaten at all.
Yeah, but you want to be pushed to the pin of your collar and to be able to celebrate it.
That has been the problem for Cork over the last few years, Tommy. Even when they're at their lowest ebbs, they've given Kerry their absolute full of it. They should have beaten them.
It's a long time since we've had a sold-out Munster final in Killarney.
I remember playing in the final in, was it 15, I think. And Cullum...
You were all Ireland
champions.
Cullum O'Neill
had a 45 to beat us. And he dropped it short. And Fionn Fitzgerald came down and kicked into Donahue and went over the bar. And we drew and saved the record. Oh, we got out of there by the skin of our teeth. And I remember thinking, we were all thinking after that would have been, we were so heavily fancied, it would have been disastrous to lose that record in Killarney. So like that will still be the feeling inside in the Kerry dressing room. They're not, I know Jackson is nobody back and we're saying we're going to get a home draw in the next round anyway, but that's a huge game. We do not want to lose that in Killarney.
No. Ica Magueru, man marked David Clifford. He won the first three balls in. Clifford ends up with 1-7, a couple of two-point frees, a goal that was a shot for a two-pointer that drops in, and then another two-point effort to drop short to Potty put into the back of the net. But one of the features of a lot of top teams in the country at the minute, when they're trying to create space in a slow attack, is this really smart screen that we're seeing. And I think, Paddy, back in the day, maybe under Jason Sherlock, who was very prevalent in the Dublin camp, when you were winning All-Irelands,
yeah,
you're used to the screen. Talk us through it. What goes into a good screen?
There's a few elbows involved in those ones.
No. If creating space for your teammates.
Yeah. So what goes in? What's the principle of a good screen? Because it's borderline stuff, really, in Gaelic
football. You're just creating space for your teammates. So someone's carrying the ball through. You're trying to create lanes for them. That's all it is.
Paddy, you're not in the dressing room here. It's a legitimate question.
But that's all it is.
What do you do?
If you see someone coming to you and defenders are converging on the ball, you'll use your body to try and give your teammate an extra second or two. This happens at every level of the game and certainly should happen at the top level of the game. Jimmy is going for a shot and I see one of the defenders coming flying in to try and block him. I might just try and step into his line. Block him out. You're just creating an extra half a second for your teammates. That's the purpose of it. And every team does it. Every good forward line should absolutely be doing it. Is it against the rules? Probably is, but...
I don't know. Fair enough, you give off the pass, right, and the defender has a couple of steps to take before he gets to you, and you step in the way, right, and take him out. That's a screen. But if you were in control of the ball... and you delay the pass as long as you can. When you have the ball, you can do what you want. So once you give it off, it's up to the defender to get out of your way then if you have the ball
around
to defend. If anything, some of those instances I thought in Clare were bad defending. Slow feet, no kind of awareness of what was about to happen. And it was so obvious, like the Kerry defender is going to run there. He wants to give it to Clifford. Clifford's going to go run as close as possible.
It was one of probably the main talking points coming out of the ground that day.
I think how bad a game this was then. That is one of the main talking points. That shows how terrible a game that was.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. It was on GA Plus, wasn't it? Or was it not?
It was on GA Plus.
I didn't think it was that bad a game. But
you can't blame the broadcast if the game is terrible.
But the game wasn't terrible. I never said it was terrible. But Kerry got 1-6
from it. The main talking point is like a screen. If that is the main talking point from a game.
No, there was. Sorry. I can tell you,
I have it on the record that there was a referee meeting last week. And it is something that is being looked at across the board. It's something that's being looked at. And I think at the minute, the punishment for it, if a referee calls it, is a black card, which is seen as being too punitive. And I would agree with that. It's probably too punitive a punishment for maybe a forward creating space for another forward to get a shot in the loop.
There's two very different things we're talking about here, Tom. The first one is you step in. Do you remember back in the day, the Mayo redhead centre forward got the first black card in Castlebar for Castlebar in the club.
Yeah. Richie Feeney. Yeah.
Where five the defender was coming out, the ball was long gone, and he hits him a dunt into the chest. Right,
there was the body checks. That's not a scream. That's like
But that's what Tommy. Stunner. That's what Tommy's describing these instances as. Right, this was the Kerry defender with the ball, the forward coming, him delaying the pass as long as possible to become an obstacle, slipping it, and the defender not having the quickness of feet to manoeuvre around the situation. I don't know why there's this big fury about it.
A few of them, James, were like that. Some of them were very obviously third man tackles. There were two of them that were obviously, like, they were. Mike Breen did it beautifully. There's a subtlety to it.
In fact, because the Clare fellas kept being cut out, they started going down heavier and heavier every time.
Okay. All right. Somebody's been in your ear.
I watched the game. It's the defensive. I'm thinking now back to a Keith Higgins or a Mark Shea or one of those. The fleetness of foot that they would have to and the awareness to know this fella's going to screen me if I continue on this path. Change your path. Maybe slow up and do a little turn. Yeah. Maybe stop him from making run in the first place.
There's defenders at the minute.
Left footed and being taken out.
Yeah, there's defenders at the minute, and I think we might see it the next day, that have it in their mind to plough through the screen, which I think is quite interesting too. I think we'll see a little bit of that. I'm telling you might be sleeping on it a little bit, but this is going to come to a head in the next couple of weeks. And it's going to happen. It could be in the provincial finals when there's a little less in the line where referees actually get with it. I think there were probably two or three that were perfectly done, that were subtle, and they were really well done. I actually think the Clifford one for goal.
You're making it as if it's this attempted assault. If I was in the dressing room now, right, and I was playing someone who was doing that, attack, right? All the manager has to do is say, lads, beware of this. Arrange your feet. They're going to leave off this slip pass a little bit late to become an obstacle, and you need to prepare accordingly.
I just can't see how this has come up all of a sudden now, that this is some nefarious tactic that's come out of nowhere.
I never said it was nefarious.
I'm not saying you said it, Tommy, but I'm like, you keep saying like this is like something big is going to come with this. This has been happening for 30 years. Like,
It's become a massive.
This match yesterday has just brought this to the forefront.
Kerry have clearly worked on delaying the pass as long as possible.
But so that's, yeah, and Jimmy, that's not new.
No,
not just in Kerry, in any team. Like,
no, like,
the goal yesterday up in Enniskillen, like 10 yards from this, and you can see Armagh slicing through the Fermanagh defence, and this is happening in nearly every play. I'm going to pop it there, and I'm going to continue here and just kind of get in your man's way. Like, and that's not against Armagh, but I'm just going, that's the last match I was at 24 hours ago. I've seen it about 10 times in that match.
Roscommon did it two or three times. I'm not saying it's a Kerry thing. It was just a very obvious thing that had cropped up in the game on Saturday. And it was done very well by Kerry in a lot of instances. Uh-huh. But I am just letting you know as well, and giving you a bit of insight. There are conversations happening about it. You can hear the murmurings that referees aren't dealing with it properly.
There's no way that it can be a foul. The ball, do you remember, I think Gainey had one in the All-Ireland final, in the club final, right? That was touch and go, right? Because it was a little bit, maybe that was a second earlier and he did stick the backside up maybe a little bit. But these ones in the Kerry game, there was no delay between the pass and the contact. The contact came on delivery of the pass. I don't know why you're getting so stressed over this time.
It's 10:30. I'm not getting stressed.
4 minutes you just, then. Tommy, I've had a 1-year-old fucking birthday party today. I'm stressed.
Yes. How was that?
It was great. There was loads of family around, so I actually got to sit down and watch the Mayo Roscommon match.
Tommy's head go down. He's rubbing his eyes.
James, I have had non-stop abuse from Kerry fans all day long about this question.
Never check your DMs, Tommy. Nothing good is ever in your DMs.
It's apparently it's a conspiracy theory going back to, do you remember the great deflection from Jim McGuinness when he was asked by Tim Moynihan about Michael Murphy's punches? Jim started talking about this a couple of weeks back. Do you remember that now? I played a clip again on Off the Ball during the week. It was a great deflection, but he was talking about the this tactic, I suppose, as well. So
okay,
it is something
just
that's been discussed.
Just humor me for 1 second. If there's going to be this big referees meeting about this, right? What's the fix?
The fix
a fella's running off your shoulder, you're going to slip at him. It's up to the defender to maneuver around. It's not.
Are you asking me a question or are you answering?
I'm also
a question?
Answering it. Go on. Sorry, I apologize. Thank you, Tommy. Continue.
But my question to Jack Connor was how it's on the border, right? It can be borderline with something like that. You boys are talking about the art of subtlety. It used to drive me nuts how well the Dubs did it back in the day. You can hear Kieran Kilkenny in a clip from a Meade game a couple of years ago saying, use me as a screen. There were so few people in the ground that day watching that game. Like it is something that's done very well in contact sports. But when the delay isn't done right and you meet a defender and you take him out of it, or a defender goes through the screen, there's contact that's happening there that is a foul. And I just think that it's being missed at times.
There is if there's a genuine delay and maybe movement towards the defender by the offloader. I can understand that, but that wasn't happening. And also, I think when a defender knows he's been cut out by this, he throws himself down. And the crowd go, whoa! And then it looks like more of an issue than it actually is.
Who's the ref
it's one,
today?
One we're keeping an eye on.
Who's the man in the middle today? Who's taking the heat over this? Was it downtown?
Yesterday. I can't remember.
Who was the ref?
Thomas Murphy from Galway. I couldn't remember who it was. But I wasn't. Yeah, look. It's borderline. It's borderline. I know. It's a bugbear of mine. I got booked in a club championship last year.
It's all coming back. What's the rumor of this rant, Tommy? Come on, bring it back.
For losing.
I was playing Fela 14 years ago.
There was the most obvious black card for a turban tackle. It was the worst screen of all time. And I ended up getting a yellow card for getting tick about it. But anyways. Well,
You got to move your feet.
If anyone knows a black card, I know a black card. Exactly, James. Okay. James, this weekend is going to be good. Paddy, have you chosen your poison? You've got Dublin Loud, Derry Monaghan, Armagh, Down and Kildare Westmeath.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be doing the game on Saturday night, the doubleheader. So I think they're broadcasting Portlaoise. So I think it's Monaghan, Derry at 5 and Dublin Loud at 7. So all very tight games, all 4 semi-finals this weekend.
Okay, and anyone in particular you're worried about or looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Dublin match. Yeah? I said it on last week's show, I think it's a brilliant game. I have no idea what to expect. That's, I think, if Dublin, as I was saying last week, if their guys are fit, which it seems like every time you watch a Dublin match, there's question marks over some of the key guys and injuries. If they're all available and they play well, I think they're still better than Loud, but there's still massive question marks over, are we going to see Khan on the pitch? Will we see Kieran Kilkenny? What type of form these guys are in? Not too dissimilar to what we'll probably see from Galway and Pádraig Joyce going into that Connacht final. Dublin were as bad against Wicklow as Galway were against Leitrim, and it's not necessarily the worst position for a team to be going into, but Loud on their side, what an opportunity for them to really put a nail in the coffin of Dublin, cement themselves as going back-to-back Leinster champions. They won it last year without beating Dublin. This will be, I know if I was Gavin Devlin and Sam Mulroy and those guys in that dressing room, it's what an opportunity to really go, we're the top dogs here. So there's no lack of motivation on the Loud side either. And my question mark, and this is what I'm excited to see, I am very, very excited to go to this match and just see this. I said it last week, I'm not really overly concerned with these younger guys coming through, and that's a longer term project. I want to see more of that in the league. But I think Saturday night comes down to Howard, Scully, Merchant, Kilkenny, Khan, if they're on the pitch, Bugler, guys who've been there and have loads of All-Irelands and All-Stars. Show us.
show the Dublin supporters that we're still in this fight, because that's what it's going to be. Louder coming for you. They're going to be all over you like a rash. Huge crowd in Port Leash, unless the GAA start charging fucking 50 quid for tickets, which you don't know. But that's what makes it such an intriguing game, because I don't know. I'm nervous. Dublin could perform and win, or it could be the final now. So that's what's on the line.
James, I know Paddy there has mentioned question marks about Conor Callaghan. Did you see the shot of him walking off the field without even looking at Charlie McMorrow's goal against Wicklow last week?
Just so like demoralized he went being injured.
He just knew that he was
that feeling. I remember I did that. I got in trouble with, actually against Clare, tore my hamstring kicking a shot, and I just walked off. I was just so sick of it. I was like, this is just hell.
It must be horrible.
It's really such a lonely spot. Yeah. You know you're going back into the gym there on your own. No training. Yeah. Not part of the group. Part of no team. So I feel for fellas when I see that. So I hope it's not as bad as what it looked like.
Turnaround though, Jimmy. It's, and again, with the injury record, it's a big ask to turn that around.
It is. What's happened to Khan's body that it's kind of...
Just mileage, Jimmy. Just like we said, he went on this run. He was winning All-Ireland hurling club titles right at the peak of us winning the All-Ireland football championship. He was playing for 12 months on a loop. That's, I suppose, we've seen it with Clifford. And Clifford has managed, touch wood, to avoid that type of thing. And his runs with Fossa and then going on with Kerry, obviously. But for Khan, he was playing hurling and football. Captain in UCD, winning Sigerson Cups and stuff like that. And then just the way he plays the game as well, he's so physical and robust. And just from a Dublin perspective, it does feel like it's not Khan's fault. If there's a guy who is doing absolutely every single, like a Conor Laverty approach, doing every single thing he can to be the best player he can be. He's the Dublin captain, the honour and responsibility that comes with that for him. But it does feel like any time Dublin are playing a big game, it's like, we need Khan. Is Khan going to be available or not? And it's just so, really, for players, we've all played. I know there's lots of players listening to this. Injuries is, you said it, Jimmy. It's hell. You do become maybe a bit more selfish about it. It's just like you put so much into it and you can't do anything. There's nothing worse. You're sitting there on the sideline and you're watching the lads go out to play, you know, a massive championship match. And all the Dublin supporters, as always, are just praying that they get to O'More Park next Saturday when Khan is on the pitch, because it becomes a bit, a hell of a lot harder task to get over that Loud team if he's not there.
Loud of failure, 5-6.
Yeah, a lot of money on Loud early last week, which wasn't a surprise after the two games.
Yeah, it would be a great result for Loud.
it's a massive
game.
Opportunity for both teams. For both teams.
They're into a third Leinster 20s final in a row. They won earlier this afternoon as well. So there's a real momentum. We know all about it. We were there last year doing a show. Lads, I put up a photo that we're doing the pod live about 20 minutes ago. We've got about 80 comments in on Instagram. I'm just going to rattle through a couple of them. All from all over the place. Do you think the Rossies can continue to form in the group stage and knockout stages after Connacht? Roscommon is a serious team. I think they could win Sam Maguire. Thanks, Tig. You said it, not me. Dylan Carlos, Roscommon man, hook it to my veins. A comment in here saying Donegal were knackered. Limo have down just given us a shock at the championship. Sean wants to know, is Oran Murdoch top five in Ireland? I'm not sure what top five, Sean, but I'd stick him in some top five. Cormac Waters, what happened to me last week could happen to anyone. Another league finalist called today. I think we're seeing that in this new era of Gaelic football. If you're not on it, James, you were saying it earlier. Andy Moran was saying it too. You can be caught by anybody. If Down beat Armagh, are they real contenders? Contenders for what? Contenders for Ulster.
If they do it, but that's a big if. It's a big if.
Craig, definitely a year for upset, lads. Donegal result took the hurt from the Westmeath team. Why are so many of the big teams struggling? No one is convincing me at the minute, from Shane. Barry McAndrew wants to know, are Mayo fourth in the Connacht power rankings after Leitrim's performance? We'll see on Tuesday. Cormac, are all four provincial championships back, do we think?
Yes.
I think football is just back. No, Cormac, it's just football.
I agree.
Killer McHugh. Killer McHugh, successful 20s from the early 2020 decade is beginning to bear fruit for Roscommon. There's definitely savage depth in that Roscommon team. About 10 questions in on screening, but one good one here. Please get Paddy Anders' opinion on Kerry screening, because James O'Donoghue and TR have tinted glasses, mounting out of a molehill, in my opinion. Sharon from Mayo, please go easy on us. I listen to you every week. A huge Mayo supporter.
Got to tell him what it is there with the lads.
Carl said, oh, about the screening, lads, every team does it every game. Please don't just single out Kerry. We didn't. It just was a big feature. Tighe with a good question, or a good point. Paddy Clifford kicking frees off the deck. Yes, he was.
Oh, he struck the first one sweet as the last time. I didn't know. I knew he had one. He's kicked a few, but that technique was beautiful. Beautiful.
Dermot Foley, a lot of big teams already in the loser section. Donegal, Mayo, Tyrone and Meath. Kerry could be next with all the injuries. Poor Kerry. I added in the poor Kerry, but he didn't say that. No, Kerry can't actually end up in the losers group, because, as we said, get to provincial final, you're seeded as a home team in round one. Danny comes in with a great performance from Turbo. Paddy, you already said it earlier, and Connor Turbot,
yeah, really good
with
a series. Come off after like 40 minutes, but he got the start. Obviously the big talk, McGeaney and the finishers kept Wishing O'Neill came on and kicked a couple of scores again, like, but Turbo got the start. And when it was still a contest in that first half, he was the best player on the pitch, I thought. Connolly was back to form as well. No, Armagh were impressive.
McGuinness did the same Mick with Merkel. Gallen. He took him off after, yeah, took him after the 45 of the game in the melting pot. No, he brings on Shane Malone, who actually did well.
I thought Gallen was on from till maybe nearly the hour. It was definitely later than 45.
It was a bit later, yeah.
Maybe it was. Shane Malone did well when he came on to Everton.
He did. Can James finally put Dermot Murtha into his top 10 forwards in the country? We're going to get James O'Donoghue's top 10 forwards after the provincial finals. We'll allow him to revise it.
That's a good
after
time.
Some form. Okay, and we're looking forward to seeing it. Do your homework over the next few weeks. Damien was at the Mayo game. Was no bite in Mayo. Not a hand put on the Rossies, which is an interesting one. If Down and Westmead both make provincial finals, who does that send to the Tailteann Cup? Cavan is the answer. And is there something in the new rules or the current format that enables Division 3 or 4 teams to nearly beat Division 1 teams? That might be a question for another day, lads, but it is an interesting one. I have a theory.
Go on.
If you've got shooters or a couple of big men, you've got a chance. If you win the ball and you can take your chances, you've got a chance now. So yeah.
You definitely need the twos as well. Definitely need the twos.
We've done overtime tonight. Two quick ones. Losers group looking very dangerous. It is indeed. Gaz from Roscommon reckons Mayo are believing their own hype once again. I'm not sure. I think it was just a clinical Roscommon performance. And the final one from Ronan. James, I'll let you finish your yawn. Cork for the double. Buck the Burlington, lads. Come on, Ronan. That's going to be some Munster final.
All the neutrals love Cork. A word for the hurling. Limerick, Cork and the hurling was sensational today.
Yeah. I'm at
look at full house, the red and the green.
Unreal.
Limerick.
Keane Lynch.
Had it in the bag. Keane Lynch
sent off.
You would, Tommy.
Turning point. You would have stretched. That cost them.
You would have a meltdown if you were covering hurling, because the amount of red card incidents that happen in a hurling match, you wouldn't sleep.
There's no cards in hurling.
You wouldn't
sleep. There's no cards in hurling. It would suit me to play hurling. I should have grown up playing hurling. I would have. Yeah.
Did you say it, Tommy? Did you get to say it?
I watched a little bit of the Limerick Cork game today. Going to watch
Waterford
it back.
I'm actually well was off the charts. Waterford's going to go with the last puck. Is that what they call it? A puck.
I've been given good markings for next weekend. I'm in Portlaoise Saturday night for Loud and Dublin for Off the Ball. I'll see you there, pal. And then I'm in Ennis on Sunday for Clare and Limerick, which is going to be an absolute belter.
Dream job.
Belter.
Dream job.
Ennis is a great town for championship, lads. You got to come down to some Munster championship
game. Sun is shining all week.
Some great pubs, some great food. You'll enjoy yourselves. And
I have to get into the Unbeg again, lads. Catch up with Tubbs again. Have a little round.
We'll do that. We can organize. We can go anywhere. I think we catch up with Tubbs. We got to catch up with Tubbs for sure. Yeah. Okay, boys, good work.
Chance to hey.
We'll head down to Adair as well. We'll play a few there. Up to Roy. Okay, down make to Paddy, us the final.
Paddy, show us your top. Is that your McCormick's?
Our friends are McCormick's. Top? Yeah, it is.
Beautiful.
Lovely. Brass. I like that.
Very nice.
Good stuff. James, anything to leave us on before we go? An hour and 15 minutes in here.
No.
That's late.
No.
Late, boys.
Just another great week. Pod by you, Tom. Appreciate you.
Oh, thanks, pal. I'll be editing it now for the next little while, so thank you for your contributions.
Edit out all criticism of GAA Plus, please. Thank you.
Ain't happening. Paddy, you took a strong line today. I'm impressed by you. You had some... okay.
The pricing thing, that's a disgrace.
You're dead right. You are dead right.
Honestly, it takes a lot to get me annoyed, but I was like... Watching the game, well, nieces and nephews and all were here, and I was like, am I going to bring my own kids to games? And
yeah.
Insane.
Well, crazy. I think the punters made a point today. There was plenty of empty seats in front of me, so we'll be talking about that on Off the Ball Breakfast tomorrow morning. We've got the power rankings on Tuesday. It's a pity. We'll catch up. We'll be talking during the week, boys. Lots of good football happening. And thanks for today, and thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon on the football.
Good night, lads.
Cheers, boys. Good night, everyone.